Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Yes, indeed, it is the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. We are coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. You can also follow us on social media. Rob is at Rob Parker FS1 on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Chris_Broussard on Twitter. ChrisBroussard68 on the gram. All right, we got one of our favorite segments of the week, Foul or Fair, with Rod Allen, former MLB veteran, coming up at the bottom of this hour. And, of course, what is it? An hour away, I guess, right? The Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. A must win for the Nuggets. Rob, do you disagree with that? I mean, obviously, the series wouldn't be over, you know, technically, if they lose tonight.
You just wouldn't leave yourself any room for error. I mean, you're trying to win four games in a row. It's just about impossible. So, yeah, if they win, then they're, you know, back into the series, and they could try to even it out. But you got to get the win tonight, obviously, to fall behind. It's happened before. Like, people have given up 3-0 leads. But not the chances of that happening are almost slim to none.
Absolutely. And I don't see them coming back. Now, granted, I didn't see it in the first or second round. But I certainly don't see them coming back from 3-1, let alone 3-0, against L.A. So they need to win tonight. And look, Lakers are the better team in my view, in virtually everybody's view. They present some serious matchup problems for Denver. And I think the Lakers are going to the finals and winning the finals. But I hope that Denver can win tonight to make things, you know, put a little spice into the series, put a little interest into the series. Because if I'm Denver, and maybe other people will look at this too, if Denver wins tonight, if you're the Nuggets, you're telling yourself, look, we should be up 2-1. We can beat this team. And I think that'll make it very interesting.
There's no doubt that that's the way you'd have to spin it. You know, we got beat on a shot.
Yep.
We had that game. If he misses that shot and we win game three, we're up 2-1.
Yep.
It's that much of a swing in how you feel about yourself. So obviously they have to win and they're fighting for their lives. So we'll see what happens.
And of course, Rob, they beat the team you and I both thought would win it all, the Clippers. And in the aftermath of that Clippers loss, which they were up 3-1, lost three straight games, a lot of stuff has come out in the aftermath. Sham Sharania, who does a great job for The Athletic, he wrote that, you know, they were having a post-series meeting in the locker room, or whether it was a meeting or just guys talking. And Paul Pierce was telling everybody, you know, we got to come back next year. Get ready for another run, all that type of stuff. And players were looking at him, rolling their eyes. Chris Haynes of Yahoo, friend of the show, he wrote that PG and Montrezl Harrell got into a heated exchange during a timeout in game two. I said today, I've been told from people that, you know, there's role players on the team who think they're as good as Paul George. Like they I've been told Doc gives special treatment to his stars, which would be Kawhi and Paul George. They can kind of deal with it with Kawhi because he delivers pretty much every night. Paul, though, two 10-point games against Dallas, Denver, a 9-point, an 11-point, I think a 14 and a 15-point game as well against Dallas. Guys aren't understanding and feeling the extra treatment, special treatment he gets treated like a star when they don't see him producing the way Kawhi does, or most are with the consistency of a star. And then our buddy Colin Cowherd on the great show, The Herd, he threw out today. Now, I don't think he's sourcing this or anything, but he just threw out he wouldn't be surprised if the Clippers decide to move away from Paul George this offseason. I got my thoughts on this, Rob. Where are you at on all this concerning Paul George and the Clippers?
I think it's all minutia, and this is what happens when you don't win, when there's expectations. There's going to be talk. You got to come up with a reason why. Other than you didn't make shots, you didn't play like you were supposed to. Kawhi choked in Game 7, and so did Paul George. I mean, that's the bottom line. And I know winning teams who have had all the same stuff that you mentioned have the behind-the-scenes, right, you know, stuff, Chris.
Shaq and Kobe is the greatest example.
You know, yep. I mean, so for, to people to pin that on it, that's why they weren't getting along, that's why they didn't win. If that's the story you want to write, no problem. But I know teams that won, and it was worse behind the scenes, and fights and pushing and, you know what I mean, disrespecting each other and all that. I've covered teams like that, so I know, and it doesn't shock me. None of it shocks me. I'm not surprised. But just like when LeBron lost to Dallas and they had the big three in Miami, you don't dig a hole and oh my God, how do we show our face? How do we play next year? You get better, you work on your game, and you come out and your talent, you play next year. I don't believe there's going to be any major changes. They'll have more time together. Maybe they won't be hurt, and they'll play a full season together, develop a little more chemistry, and when the time comes, they can get right back in the saddle and have a chance at it. So I hear all the stuff people are writing. I remember when the Pistons beat the Lakers, you know, that was the excuse on why the Pistons won and the Lakers didn't. You know, all those stories.
And there was truth to that.
No, I'm just saying. Pistons played well. I mean, they did. Yeah, whatever. You know, they played well. So I've seen it before. That's all.
Nah, and in fairness, nobody's writing that was the cause of this. But it's just stuff that's going on. But I'm with you. There's talk that they want a playmaking point guard or guard, at least. They certainly could use a little more size to back up Zubac. I like Zubac, but obviously their size or lack thereof against Denver was an issue. So they could stand to get some backup size. And, you know, everybody can use more shooting because they went cold in the bubble, so they could use more shooting. But I think a few things that happened. Now, let me start with Paul George. Sure. I question now, and this is not off one postseason. This is off his playoff career. And he's obviously had some good moments, but he's had some bad ones. I got a few questions as to whether or not he's the second star on a championship team, because he's very inconsistent in the playoffs. But unless I can get a better second star, I mean, you who you trading him for? He's going to make $35 million next year, $38 million the year after. So who you trading him for? I wouldn't do it. As much as I like Chris Paul, Chris has been in L.A. He's been with Doc. You know, he left in an unceremonious way. He's older. I wouldn't do that as much as I like Chris. I just don't see the trade that's out there for them. You know, and so I think, and I'm not so down on Paul, and I'm sure the Clippers aren't either, that it's like we got to move him. I mean, he's a great player. He's not a all-time great, but he is a perennial all-star legitimately. And so I'm fine with Paul George, but what has to happen, Rob, I believe two things. Number one, Doc, and this is from talking to a lot of people around this, Doc's got to hold his stars accountable, meaning Kawhi and Paul George. And I'm not saying you got to jump on him and all that, but you got to coach him. Because what I'm told is that some of the players, you know, they see he doesn't really hold his superstars accountable. And this dates back to even when he had Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan and all that. But he'll jump and hold the role players accountable. But they're seeing that and looking at him funny, like, well, you ain't saying that to Paul. You don't say anything to Kawhi, but you're going to jump on us. So Docs, and you know this, Rob, you've covered sports longer than me. There are times I've had coaches tell me that they'll go to their superstar before practice and say, look, I'm going to jump on you today. Now, it's nothing wrong. You ain't doing anything wrong. But I'm going to come at you hard today to show the other guys that I'm jumping on, you know, that I'm getting on you. If I can get on you, then I can get on them and they going to fall in line. And the stars goes along with it. If that's what you got to do, I get it. But that has to change. And then the second thing is, I think Kawhi in Toronto, I feel like Kawhi was like a mercenary. He came in, I'm sitting out 22 games, but I'm here to ball. I'm here only pretty much a year, most likely. I'm a ball and we going to win. And that was it. And it worked in Toronto, I think, mainly because, I mean, it was a good season, even if they had lost the finals. But I think they won it because of the injuries in Golden State. But nevertheless, they won a championship and it's legit. And I think he thought that could work here. And I think that they need to have a different approach. He needs to be a little more engaged at practice, be a little more with the team. Not that there were issues as far as guys not getting along with him, but be a little more all in with the team. And unless, look, he just played however many games they played in the bubble in the playoffs. What, 7-6, I think it was. So 13 playoff games every other day. That's hard. That's more stringent than a regular season schedule. Because you usually, sometimes you'll get 2-3 days off between the game. And so that he was fine. I mean, he winded, it looked like, but he was fine physically as far as his knees and things like that. So if you can play, if Kawhi doesn't need the load management, play 73 games, play 75 games, whatever. And play some minutes. Because he looked winded when he had to play 39 minutes in the playoffs. And he was only playing 32 in the regular season. So I think those things need to change. I think that'll set a different tone. I think that's more in line, Rob, with the identity they had last year when you fell in love with them for winning 2 games against Golden State. And so I think those are 2 things that need to change, even more so than the personnel changes.
Yeah, I think that there's things that they can work on to get better. And that's how you have to face it. You don't have to tear everything up and say, oh my God, it's the end of the world. I just think that things happen that you would never have expected, especially the Kawhi Leonard part, which was unexpected.
Well, you were a prisoner of the moment.
I just thought I would play that game out 10 times, and 9 out of 10, he would not turn in a performance.
Really?
Like he turned out. Yeah,
I don't think
not,
so.
Not that poorly.
I think he's great. I can't say poorly. 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10. I'm talking
about
the play.
Because he was short-arming shots.
No, but he played poorly. He choked in that game.
He did play poorly.
I don't have him choking more than once in 10 games, so that's just me. And they'll go back to the drawing board and decide what they want to do. No, that's you.
You're worse. You can never say that about me. James Harden, the best player in the world. Kawhi Leonard is the best player in the world.
Because we could go on and on and on.
Anthony Davis is the MVP of the Lakers. Stop it.
He is. That's not prisoner of the moment.
You are disqualified.
I've been saying that forever.
From calling me a prisoner of the moment.
What? Everybody knows
it. Anthony Davis is the best Laker?
Everybody knows.
This is the first time you said that was after he hit that shot.
No, it's not.
I said it before.
Said it before. That his numbers were better than LeBron.
You said his numbers.
All of his numbers were better than LeBron.
You didn't say he was the MVP of the Lakers.
Yes, he is.
Those are 2 different things. Stop
it. It's in my column. You want me to go show it to you?
Moment.
The column I wrote on Deadspin 2 weeks ago.
James Harden was still the best player in the world? Kawhi.
At that time, he was.
Yeah, that 24-hour segment?
No, it wasn't 24 hours at that time.
All right, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. What do you think of the Clippers? Will they be back? I mean, look, we know they're going to be back next year and be good. Can they win the championship next year? And what do they need to do to get that? Excuse me, to get there and win it? Your turn to weigh in, 877-99 on Fox. with Chris and Rob. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, folks, it is The Odd Couple, Chris Broussard, Rob Parker on a Trash Talking Tuesday. You get your time to talk trash in about an hour and 15 minutes.
That's right. You better come hard and strong to the
That's
mic.
Right. That's right. We're brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone is America's number one battery destination. No matter what battery problems you're dealing with, you can find your battery solution at AutoZone. Next time you're having starting trouble, start at AutoZone. It's America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone. AutoZone, 877-99 on Fox. Can the Clippers win it next year? And what do they need to do to put themselves in that position? 877-99 on Fox. Your turn to weigh in.
All right, Jabari in Michigan. You're on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What you got?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I just want to say happy 2-year anniversary for you guys and appreciate all the guys you guys are doing on radio.
Man, thank you. Where are you in Michigan? Are you in Ann Arbor or Flint? Where are you?
Well, I would say Detroit, but I'm like Southfield, Lathrop Village side. That's where I'm at. I mean, you know how people start. Yeah,
that's suburban Detroit.
That's where I lived. Yeah. You know, I lived on 12 Mile.
Okay. Yeah, I stay between 11 Mile and 12 Mile.
I stayed 12 Mile in Greenfield.
Okay. That's what's up. Yeah, I'm on Southfield Road. All right. So what I want to say there with the Clippers, I do believe the Clippers can win the championship next year, but what they have to do, there's three main things they have to do. They have to make sure they get set role players, glue guys, veterans, like someone like an Iggy, or get like a Jay Crowder, or make sure they have someone like a Marcus.
You don't think they had that this year? Montrezl Harrell, Landry Shamet, Beverly, Marcus Morris.
I think that it's all about you know, what do you have, what's your role, set roles as. I just think that they had too many guys that had the same roles. Like Marcus Morris kind of like had the same role as Montrezl Harrell. Reggie Jackson kind of had like the same role as Lou Williams. I think they need to have people who can play a certain role so Kawhi and Paul George could do their thing. And speaking of Montrezl Harrell, I think that what they could do is use Montrezl Harrell and do a signing trade for Rudy Gobert. I really believe that Rudy Gobert could be a great piece for this team.
Why would Utah do that?
Well, guess what? They got to make a decision between Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. And I believe they're going to go after Donovan Mitchell.
Why
do I believe so? Okay, I'll tell you why. Because Donovan Mitchell at some point is going to get a max deal. He's going to get that contract extension. And they're going to make a decision.
Why can't they keep both? Because
at some point, I believe the Utah Jazz are thinking, because of the relationship that Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert went through this year, they look good until game five of
the playoffs.
Yeah, now they were rolling.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, Jabari, thanks for the support. Appreciate you. Thanks. Yep. In Southfield, Michigan. Phil in Florida, you're on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Phil?
Hey, what's up, Rob and Chris? Rob, thanks for being on my podcast again, man. I appreciate you.
No problem, Phil. Thanks for having me, and we appreciate your support for the show, my man.
So I think, you know, the big thing the Clippers need is somebody who can be vocal enough to push Kawhi around and show him that he needs to be led. He's a great number two, a great Robin, but not a great Batman. I'd love to see him get Chris Paul back.
I think he's a Batman player. He's not, obviously not a vocal leader.
That's right. But everybody's not
vocal
that way.
Leader. Yeah. It doesn't have to. Because Kyle Lowry was the vocal guy right in Toronto. But Kawhi was clearly the best player.
You don't need to. You're right. Everybody's not the same. I remember in Detroit, people wanted Barry Sanders, Chris, to do. That's not Barry Sanders.
Right.
He was the leader by example and just played well. But he was not that guy. It's just some people can't do it. Chris in Michigan, you're on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Chris?
How's it going, guys?
Doing good.
Bro? I'm trying to become a regular here, so I keep calling in.
Where are you from in Michigan? I'm just curious. Where are you from?
I'm in Grand Rapids.
Okay, good. All right, go ahead. Yep.
Well, no, what I was going to say is I think the Clippers can win next year, but it's going to take Paul George to play better. And, I mean, as of late, we haven't really seen that in the playoffs. I mean, we saw it early, but it seems like ever since that leg injury, he hasn't really been the same. So I don't know if he can elevate his game like that. And then they're definitely going to need some size, too, because you got to think next year, Golden State's coming back. The Nets are going to be right there with KD and Kyrie. So it's not going to get any easier.
Lakers, Denver.
No,
Denver's going to probably be better.
Dallas will be better. I mean, how can they not be better coming off what they went through? You know what, Chris, you're right. It's going to be even more as these other teams come back. But that's what winning a championship is. It's not supposed to be easy or a cakewalk. You got to fight your way through it. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
All right. It's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. We got Foul or Fair coming up in a moment. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
That ball is...
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, here's The Odd Couple with former MLB veteran, Rod Allen.
Yes, sir, it is Foul or Fair, The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio, the segment where we discuss all the biggest headlines from the last week in Major League Baseball. In order to do so, we had to bring in a real expert, not Rob Parker, who hosts some podcast that nobody listens to. None other than former MLB veteran, Rod Allen. Rod, how are you feeling this evening, buddy?
Hey, I'm great, man. But first, I got to tell the fellas, I mean, I told you guys a couple of weeks ago when we did the fair or foul that the Yankees was going to get it together and they was going to run.
No, you did not. We all said that.
Rod said that.
No.
10 in a row.
No, Rod, you said that they were done.
I do think Rod was the one that said they were done, and Rob and I said.
Right, we jumped on you that it wasn't. Right. Remember, Chris, because we said they were banged up and they were going to get healthy. You remember
y'all
that, Rod?
From New York and
Look
New
at
Jersey.
That.
You
know. No. You already know. All right, we're ready to go today.
All right, let's get to it, guys. Story number one. Astros ace Justin Verlander unfortunately announced earlier this week he will need Tommy John surgery, and he's becoming the fourth all-star pitcher this year alone who will have undergone the procedure. Now, despite the abbreviated schedule, more pitchers have undergone Tommy John surgery in 2020, which would be 19, including Verlander, than last year, which was only 16. Now, it should be noted, six of those 19 were in spring training. But, Rod, is it foul or fair to say that the long layoff and that rapid ramp up to the season is the reason why so many guys are getting Tommy John injuries?
Foul.
That is a foul ball.
I can't put that on baseball. It might have something to do with it. And quite frankly, guys, I think that once the pandemic hit and it looked like baseball was going to be a wash for the year, I think some decisions were made at that time to let's go ahead and do Tommy John because really we're going to lose one season here. But to put this on baseball, I just can't do it. You talked about Syndergaard. He's one of those all-stars. You talked about Sale, Severino, Verlander. They're all hard throwers. I think sometimes, fellas, it just comes with the territory. So I just can't put that on baseball to say that all of them are because of this wacky year this season.
Rod, I agree with you. This foul.
That is a foul ball.
It's the nature of it, and I think Rod made the best point that people do decide, well, this is not going to happen or we're shut down, so I might as well get it now rather than waiting because of the recovery. So it makes sense to do it. Instead of missing a whole 162 games, you just say, like, we'll throw the towel in because we're only going to play 60 anyway. So I'm with Rod.
I guess somebody's got to keep it real. It's fair.
It's a fair ball.
Oh, listen to
the grand protectors of Major League Baseball.
No, we're not.
You know they weren't going to say it's foul. Look at the numbers, guys.
16-19? That was 16 last year.
Yeah, but they played 162 games last year. They're playing a third of that, not even a third of that, about a third of that.
I was going to say, where's your mask?
They got 19 surgeries. I'm sorry. They got cut off, 5 weeks into training camp or something like that? They take 3.5 months off, and then they get another, 3-week spring training, and then they got to go into this condensed schedule? Stop it. It's fair. You both know it.
Okay.
You just don't want to get a call from Rob Manfred or a text from him with exclamation points and foul language.
I just got a text from Rob Parker. Said, I want to keep my Hall of Fame vote. Do not ask that question
What are you
again.
Doing? What are you doing, Chris Broussard?
You got to keep that vote.
You know that's my prized possession, Rod. You know it.
I know it.
All right, here we go, guys. Story number two. On Monday, the Oakland A's clinched their first AL West title since 2013. Now, they've been pretty good for a while. They've won 97 games each of the last two seasons, only to get bounced in that AL wildcard play-in game. So, Rod, now that they're guaranteed at least a full postseason series, is it foul or fair to call the A's a dark horse World Series contender?
Whew, I'm going to say false. I'm going to say foul.
That is a foul ball.
And the reason I say it, I love Bob Melvin. He's one of the best managers in the game, but they just lost Matt Chapman. He's going to be done for the year. They're pitching. They got some guys like a Lizardo, and they got Montas, who really hasn't hit his way this year. They got another kid by the name of Chris Bassett, who's probably their number one, along with the other kid they got, Manaea. But the pitching for me. I love Bob Melvin. I love what they're doing there in Oakland. But to get through Tampa and to get through the White Sox and the Yankees and all the other teams out of the American League, I just couldn't say fair.
I'm going with foul.
That is a foul ball.
I think the pitching's okay. I don't think they got enough offense. And I know pitching is what wins, but they kind of, to me, look like they're doing that analytical thing. I mean, nobody's hitting really with a strong average, which I guess they don't care about. But they get a lot of walks. And, you know, I don't think they have the offense to go deep into the playoffs. I think their pitching's okay, but I just don't see enough pop in their bats.
I'm going to go with foul as well.
That is a foul ball.
And it's only because of the competition in the American League. I think the American League has a lot of strong teams. You know, Rod mentioned a couple of them, but the Twins are pretty good.
Yep.
The Astros are there. I don't know. I know without Verlander and different things, but there the Indians have pitching. I mean, when I start to look at the American League, there's a couple teams there that can either rake or pitch, and right. I think that those teams are all better. I would rank the A's maybe the fifth or sixth best team in the American League when you stack them up to the other team. So, foul.
Wow. All right.
Rob, you're doing very good this week.
Yeah, I'm following your lead a little bit. There you
all
go.
Right. It is Fowler Fair. Former MLB veteran Rod Allen with the Odd Couple. Last question for you guys. The defending champion Washington Nationals, to say that they've had a rough 2020 will be putting it lightly. At 21-32, they're in the basement of their division, and they have the fifth worst record in all of the majors entering today. So, Rod, is it foul or fair to say that the Nationals have been the most disappointing team this season?
I'm going to go foul.
That is a foul ball.
They let Rendon walk away. Strasburg really hasn't been there all year. The kid Soto, he really very seldom gets pitched to, and he's also battled some illnesses this year, too. So they got a mulligan for me. They won the World Series last year. I'm not going to hate on them like that. But there are some other teams that are behind them in the standings. As you mentioned, five other teams with worse records. And two of those teams, Boston Red Sox, they haven't really played all that well this year. And the Angels, I mean, they got Trout, they got Rendon. Otani really hasn't done much this year, but they have Madden, who came in and was supposed to shake up some things. And the Boston Red Sox, man, I know they traded Mookie Betts away, but, man, they kind of fell off the planet.
Yeah.
Rob?
You're quiet. No. I agree with you. I just can't remember whether it was foul or fair. What'd you say?
Foul would be agreeing that they're not the most disappointing team.
Yeah, they're not. There are other teams as well. And Rod talked about a couple of things that definitely hurt them. But also there's a team out there. What about the Milwaukee Brewers? I mean, ooh, that was a team that's made the playoffs the last few years, Chris. And Rod made some runs. They're right now, I think, on the outside looking in. They might not make it. So when I just start looking around, there are a couple teams like the Brewers, like the Red Sox. The Red Sox shouldn't be like the worst team in the league or just about. That's how bad that they've fallen. And I know Chris Sale is out for them. But I'll say the Brewers, to me, have had a worse season than the Nationals.
I say it's fair.
It's a fair ball.
I know it's baseball, but heck, you're coming off the World Series. You lost Bryce Harper, and you kept it moving. I'm sure they thought they could lose Rendon and keep it moving. I do think, Rod, I almost went with the Angels. I mean, my goodness. Are they ever going to make the playoffs with Mike Trout and the rest of those guys? I mean,
and they got Rendon and Ohtani can't stay healthy. Yeah. I mean, they got players on that team.
It is ridiculous. And like you said, they brought in Madden thinking he's going to be the superstar whisperer or whatever. But I just think, coming off the World Series, I didn't expect them to repeat, but to completely fall out. I get the injuries, but I think that the Nationals, this is a long drop off and fall from grace. So, I'm fair on this. The Nationals are the most disappointing teams in MLB.
Rod, can you believe this?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, can you believe the season's over next week? Can you
believe
it?
Well, it's over. But I was getting ready to say I'm looking forward to the playoffs, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's
going
to be fun. It's going to be in some nice areas. Too bad you can't go and watch it in person. But I'm going to be dialed in, man. I look forward to talking to you guys again.
Yep.
All right,
thanks, Rod.
Great stuff as always, brother.
All right, have a good day.
Yep. More of the iCouple coming your way. Keep it locked. Chris and Rod, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It is The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. And Rob, this is what?
A Trash Talking Tuesday.
That's
your
right.
Your chance to trash anyone, anything in the world of sports. Just come hard and strong. Bring those opinions. We'll let you get your 30, 45 seconds. We will not, N-O-T, interrupt you. Let you have your say.
That's right. So you'll be able to call in around 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern. All right, Rob. Great story. You and I have, promoted the notion of some black athletes, great athletes, going to HBCUs. We had Makur Maker on when he decided to go play ball at Howard University, 5-star recruit. And Deion Sanders. Now, there's a lot of NBA guys and probably even some NFL guys, too, that I don't know of any, but there's probably a few who are coaching at HBCUs, right? Kenny Anderson coaches at Fisk.
Yep.
We had Lindsey Hunter, Alabama State,
right? Lindsey Hunter.
Yep, George Lynch is at Clark in Atlanta. Lindsey Hunter, is it Alabama State?
No,
where
no.
Lindsey's at? Norfolk, man.
Hold on.
But Lindsey, he's at an HBCU. Yeah,
Lindsey's at an HBCU, right.
Yep, yep. And there's a few others, but, I mean, obviously, there are very few names in sports that are, okay, Lindsey's at Mississippi Valley State. Lindsey right, played right. at Jackson State,
Lindsey
right?
went at Jackson State.
Okay.
Yeah, he went to Jackson State where
right.
Deion is now.
That's
the
where
coach.
Deion Sanders is coaching football now. And there's very few names in sports, Rob, bigger than Deion Sanders. And so this
no,
is
No, we
huge.
Had him on the show from the Super Bowl last
yep.
year. Remember, Chris? He was
yep.
very nice to us.
Yeah,
we all know Deion. He's was on the NFL Network, left this year, right? And now he's taking a different path. I love what he's doing, Chris. I think this is a great story.
No, I love it too. And you would think he's going to be able to get, we'll see if he can get recruits. I mean, obviously, their facilities aren't going to be, anything close to the top facilities in the country. But I'm sure, Rob, part of his plan has to be to get, athletes to make donations. And if they can build up the facilities, then they, with a personality like him, you can start getting guys, some of the top recruits in the land, maybe.
But also, people need to understand that scouts go where the players are. So if great players go to these schools, that's where they show up. Shannon Sharp wound up going from an HBCU to the Hall of Fame. The guy considered the greatest football player ever, Jerry Rice, went to an HBCU, Chris. You know what I mean? So it's not impossible. It's not – of course, if you go to a football powerhouse, and you're a great player, but great players – will be found no matter where you play. It's just great for Deion to do this. We've seen this movement going on, Chris. We've seen some other players decide to stay home, so to speak. Do you know what I mean? Stay home. Yep. And I like the whole idea of it, and it's great. It's great. I did talk to T.O. today. You saw the tweet that came out.
Well, I saw it. Is this true? Because they had that T.O. is not true.
It's not true.
It looked too crazy to be true.
When I saw the coaching staff, I went, damn.
Right. Well, it was a tweet.
That's what I said.
Do you have the tweet in front of you? There was a tweet that said Warren Sapp.
It said according to sources, right.
Terrell Owens, and who? It was like one more former NFL star. But yeah, you're right. I was like, what?
So you know what I did is I wound up texting T.O.
Right.
I wanted to say congratulations. Because, Chris, I was blown away when I saw that.
Oh,
I was like,
crazy.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Yeah, and then T.O. said, not true. Yeah, that's not happening.
Didn't it look? I looked at that list like
it was too star studded. I was like, "Where is Jackson State getting money under the table? Where are they paying all these guys?" That's what I thought.
Oh man, but it is a great story for Deion, and hopefully has great success there. Get like you said, you can get some recruits, and they're going to find you. And the thing too is, if Deion obviously he's got crazy connections to the NFL. He'll be able to recommend kids, and they'll when he says this kid can make it in the league will listen to him. You know what I mean?
You know what it reminds me of, Chris? When Rick Pitino was coaching at Kentucky, I think I've told you this story before. Jamal Mashburn, a kid from Brooklyn, New York, decided to go to Kentucky for one reason, Chris, and one reason only. He said when Rick Pitino came to recruit him, he's like, weren't you the coach of the Knicks? He goes, can you get me to the NBA? And that was it.
Right, right.
Deion knows football. He knows everybody. You know, he's been on television for years, Chris. What if you're a young, impressionable guy, here's a guy who can get you maybe, and you're a talented player or whatever, Deion with his connections, people are going to come look at what he's got going. I think that's a huge plus over some other coaches. I really do.
Well, it is. I mean, they got some – Kentucky obviously has some advantages as well. I mean, they have
no,
the great
No, but I'm
history.
Saying the reason why he went there,
They had
there,
the great
though.
Facilities. Yeah, but it is – it's a major sacrifice in terms of facilities and things when you're talking about football. Basketball, not quite as much. It's somewhat of a sacrifice, but not quite as much. But – football's major. I mean, Grambling, Rob, is one of the, historically, right, one of the best college football programs of all time. But their facilities are really poor.
Well,
and so kids are making a sacrifice. But look, especially, Rob, with defensive backs, if I'm a defensive back, why in the world wouldn't I go play for Deion Sanders? You know what I mean? And I got aspirations to get to the next level.
But also you can upgrade things and maybe these players, I saw LeBron.
Well, that's
gave
why
him
I said
great,
they need donations.
Yeah, but and this might be the time to start making those moves. And before you go and give a gazillion dollars to your alma mater that doesn't need
you
any of your money.
Where you went to class for three
exactly.
months.
And you don't and they don't need your money, Chris,
right.
at all.
Absolutely.
They got a huge endowment. Make that and send that to an HBCU. That's what you should do.
Yep, I agree. All right, it's the iCouple, Chris and Rob on a Trash Talking Tuesday. We got 1 hour left. You know what to do. Keep it locked.